I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. The Taliban militants responsible for shooting down a U.S. helicopter in Afghanistan have now been killed themselves. U.S. officials say that the militants were targeted with an airstrike. The loss of that helicopter was a significant blow to the U.S. in Afghanistan. 38 American and Afghan forces were killed, including several elite Navy SEALs. Freelance reporter Anna Badkin is in the Afghan city of Mazar-i-Sharif. She says the helicopter incident made an impression on people there.
People in Mazar-i-Sharif who watch the news on TV, they will say, "Have you heard about the helicopter?" And then they will click their tongues and then they will say, "Things are getting worse and worse every day." People in Mazar-i-Sharif are very concerned because Mazar-i-Sharif is one of the few places in Afghanistan that actually has benefited from the invasion and from some aid money that sort of sifted through many, many pockets before it came here. So fear that people will lose, say, internet cafes or TV or loud weddings with music. People in the city have things to lose. People in the villages mostly have not heard of the clash. Actually, I was here a few days after Osama bin Laden was killed, and people in the villages were saying, "Who?" They have never heard of Osama bin Laden because to them it is completely irrelevant.
Anna, you were in one particular village. It's a desert area north of Mazar-i-Sharif, where you are right now. And you saw evidence of the Taliban moving in. Tell us what happened on one particular evening.
Taliban fighters on motorcycles arrived in Karagujla, which is a village of about 2,500 people, mostly apricot and almond farmers, north of Mazar-i-Sharif. They arrived at night, they walked into a mosque, and they delivered two identical letters demanding zakat, which is basically a 10% religious tax that would finance their holy war against the occupation and against the Karzai government. And then they returned a few days later fired rockets at a police checkpoint in Karagujla, sort of to reinforce their message, and then they left. And then the police pulled out, basically leaving this village in a state of sort of this dark limbo. So people who live in the village but work for the government or in police or work with foreign organizations, they stopped coming home at night. People who remained in the village stopped going out at night because they're afraid, again, of being caught by the Taliban.
What happened in this one community, how much is that really being replicated elsewhere?
I believe that this is a paradigm for this latest iteration of war that is being scrawled over the palimpsest of woe that Afghanistan, northern Afghanistan particularly, is. It seems to be a pattern, and people I've spoken to in other villages basically tell me the same story or a very similar story, that the Taliban arrived and claimed dominion over a village and then left, but nobody's quite sure how far they went, and people aren't sure when they will return next time. Maybe they come back every night. Maybe they've been back four or five times. Nobody has seen them, or somebody has seen them. You know, because they come in at night and people are afraid to go out at night, it's very hard to sort of grasp the level of Taliban presence.
That's Anna Badkin in Afghanistan for the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting.